Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I think most of you know John Lennon, the former Beatle, who once wrote, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Life in this world is a funny thing. The days seem to go by quickly, but a little reflection on the passing years can give one the impression that life is long and we have plenty of time until we don't." What I personally like about this quote is that it is a reminder to not take life for granted as it is happening all around me, or to miss it because I'm too busy making other plans. But how do we do that? With so many things going on all around us in our busy lives, how can we keep it all in perspective? The end of our reading from Acts chapter 2 paints this beautiful picture of life in the early church, and in many ways, what the church today should look like and still does to a great extent. These verses remind us, even in the busyness, what our life together in Christ is and should always be. Some will say the times have changed and the church must adapt to the times, to which I would say that the church has changed, hasn't it? And not always for the better, at least not according to God's word. And yet, while the outward appearance has changed, for example, most of us don't meet for church in homes for worship because we are free to worship and gather openly, even streaming our services online for those who truly can't make it to worship with us this morning. Another change is the variety of worship, which may seem too casual for some, but deeply meaningful for others. Yet there remains some things about our life together in Christ that never changes and should never be taken for granted. I want to look at our Acts passage today from different perspectives this morning. So first, I want you to see and appreciate anew what Paula was talking about in our children's message, what Christ has given to the early church and what he has given to us in this gift we call the body of Christ. And then I want you to notice the attitude and the response of those early Christians. And lastly, I hope that by reflecting on this blessing that we call church, that you will be encouraged and inspired to take some action in response to all that Jesus gives us. Some step forward in faith wherever you are on that journey in your life today, so that we may continue to build up this life in Christ that we share together. So first, let's look at what Christ gave to the early church. We see it here as a simple list, really, in what the church was doing in just the first couple of years after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and ascended into heaven, which we are about to celebrate again in a couple of weeks. Ascension Day is March 14th. We have a service here. May. Sorry. Wrong month, right day. May 14th, check that, Ascension Day. And the first thing that Luke tells us here in the book of Acts is that the church gathered around the apostles' teaching. Well, who were the apostles and what did they teach? Well, apostle means sent out one. The apostles were Jesus' closest disciples. For 3 years, they had a front row seat and even a backstage pass, if you will, as they wandered through the country of Israel to learn at the feet of their rabbi, Jesus. Which means that the apostles' teaching was really Jesus' teaching. They are one and the same. This teaching is grounded in the one who is the way and the truth and the life. There is one truth that is built on the person. There is one truth, and it's built on the person and the work of Jesus Christ himself. He is the hope that all the world hangs on. The whole world hangs on this truth in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says at the beginning of his letter to the Galatians, there is no other gospel than the one that he, Paul, taught to them. And if anyone should come to them and teach another gospel contrary to what he already taught, then they should be accursed. He goes so far as to even say, if an angel from heaven should teach a different truth, that angel should be cut off from the community of believers. The second thing that we see the church doing is koinonia, fellowship, community. Koinonia is the Greek term that we call fellowship. And it's more than just hanging out together. There is a closeness, a relationship, a unity in fellowship that goes beyond just common interests with each other. There are many organizations in the world that gather around a common interest. When I think of fellowship, I think of Bob. Bob was a friend of mine that I knew back, a Christian brother that I knew back in Bend, Oregon. When I first started going back to church, Bob was in the young men's Bible study with me, and Bob and I, we had nothing in common. I was a computer guy, and Bob was a big, burly construction worker. Bob went hunting, no G in that word, hunting. And Bob was loud. And Bob loved Jesus. That last thing, loving Jesus, was about the only thing that Bob and I had in common. But it was the most important thing. I love that guy, and I know that he loved me. Outside the church, we probably would have walked right past each other on the street, and we might have even judged each other. But because of the church and the faith we shared, we ended up going to a 3-day Christian festival together, and we grew in faith over the years. When I left for seminary, I still remember telling my church family that my life is richer for getting to know Bob. And that is fellowship, right? True fellowship. And it's only possible through Christ. Because apart from Christ, we are broken. Broken by sin. But with Christ, that sin is carried away. And there is true and full forgiveness that we can't know until we submit our lives to Christ as our Lord. When we first recognize that Jesus offers us God's forgiveness and love, suddenly it's possible for two broken people to begin to heal and more fully experience the kind of closeness that Jesus has with his Father in heaven. And there is unity, a unity of spirit that binds us together, even when we have different life experiences and different opinions and different political parties, or we like different sports teams. Insert a Tar Heel and Blue Devil joke here, right? This is what life in Christ together looks like. And then the last gift that we see here in Acts that Jesus gives to his church, it's really two. Paul handled them as four, but the breaking of bread and prayer. Praying together and for each other. And this is our worship. Breaking of bread can mean eating together, like fellowship, but thinking about Jesus in the upper room, which we just did a few weeks ago. We had the drama here in this room with his closest disciples. It's hard not to hear his words, "Take, eat, as often as you do this." And we still do. Communion. Along with the gift of prayer, we are given the privilege to talk to our Heavenly Father and the confidence of knowing that He hears us because of Christ, who came to live in us the day we were baptized. Each one of us, by the way, out at Life in Christ in Gastonia later this afternoon, we have a baptism. That's why I'm wearing this side of the stole. It's two-sided. It's communion on the other side. I'm wearing this in honor of Vesa, the 9-year-old daughter of Pete and Tiffany Jothan, who are members here, but they attend out there on the weeks we have worship. And this is the first baptism at this mission church. We'll have communion and baptism this afternoon. If you have time, come out and join us, because it's the first baptism for this little church. Pretty exciting. Hope you can make it. Because of prayer, we know that God hears us. And all of these gifts are foundational parts of our worship and our life together in Christ. So now I want to turn the corner here, and I want you to notice how the members of the early church received and responded to these gifts. And it's easy to miss here in the context of the text here. So I want to highlight these for you, and you'll see it here in the first three verses, starting with verse 42, which says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Did you notice the response? In response to God's gifts to the church, his people were devoted. They were committed, like you are. Our volunteers and the people who serve the church, the many hands, the many parts of the body that make up this body of Christ, they were devoted. They realized, you see, how precious these gifts were and are, and the priority of keeping them at the core of who they were and what they did. Of course, the church did many other things, like we do. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, the leaders of the church heard that widows needed to be cared for, and so they appointed a committee of 7 to attend to this. But day by day, verse 46 says, they were committed and devoted to attending the temple together, breaking bread and praising God. When we come to worship here, when we gather in small groups, our basic groups and Bible studies, when we keep a regular devotional time, which Paula announced at the beginning, we're passing out a new devotional as we go through sabbatical together, right? We have this from Acts to Action. This is actually a seminary professor of mine, Reverend Dr. William Utech. He is a great missional guy, and this will take us through the book of Acts, really. And the whole idea is to take action, right? To put our faith in action. And so I pray this will be a blessing to everyone who joins together as we take this journey of sabbatical together. By the way, we're going to post out on the Facebook community page different discussion questions each day, so you can go and participate together. Building community, right? It's what we do. So, the next response after devotion is awe, right? Awe. Awe is not a word we use very often, or we overuse it sometimes. Boy, those bagels, they're awesome! Well, okay, they're pretty good. I don't know about awesome. when you think about awe, right? But awe is very fitting when we read it in the Bible, and it should get our attention, right? So verse 43 says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." Sometimes I think with all the technology and special effects we have in movies, we've lost a sense of awe. But when we stop and we think about it, we see God's awesome hand at work all around us every day. Right? Signs and wonders. And maybe sometimes we miss it because we're too busy making other plans. Right? Like that quote at the beginning. Even this worship service, right? When we come here and we receive God's gifts, it is awesome. In our liturgy, before communion, Pastor Roger and I get the privilege of praying this pretty regularly with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We laud and magnify your glorious name. We don't just say that. That's actually what's happening in that very moment. We're standing on the threshold of heaven and earth right here. You can't see it with your eyes, but that's really what's happening right there. In that moment, heaven comes down. Or we're transported up into heaven for a moment. Whichever way you want to look at it. That's awesome. And this awesome truth is happening, whether we notice it or not, every time and in every place that God's people gather for over 2,000 years. It was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true today here in this place. And then the last response that I want you to see here is unity, right? Our God is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We confess it in the creed every week. God's people are one as well. So in verse 44, the word says, "All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." You see, we may not always agree with our brothers and sisters in Christ, like my brother Bob. We may not have all earthly things in common, but the things that matter, the eternal things that won't pass away, in those things, God's people are united. And that makes all the difference. And so you see the church doing things like caring for each other and sharing burdens and praying for each other, celebrating birthdays and anniversaries as blessings from God's hand. All the day-to-day ups and downs that can easily go by too quickly, even as the years keep rolling on. I read in the news yesterday that the world's oldest nun, Sister Frances Piscatella, celebrated her 113th birthday. Wow. Born in 1913, before the World Wars. What? She lost her arm at age 2, but that didn't stop her for the next 111 years from serving God and God's people with her life. In the article, she said, "I have some more work to do, apparently." Right? That's why God's kept her around so long. And then she shared one piece of advice. She said to others, she said, "Just learn what God wants you to do, and then do it." Pretty simple. The church may get distracted at times by secondary things, but we always come back to our first love, the gifts that our Lord Jesus has given to his church. As I leave on sabbatical over the next 3 months, I have one more week. You can't push me out yet. But I only get 2 more chances to preach today and next week. As I leave, I'm reminded that the gifts that God has given to his congregation are truly what hold this congregation, this church, together. And I will be praying that the love you have for our Savior will fill you with devotion and awe and unity while I'm away. As we take this journey in Christ together for his glory. Amen. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding may keep your hearts and your minds in our risen and reigning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.